US president gets COVID and Origin fallout. Hello, I'm Stephen Clark with the latest from NIRS News. US President Joe Biden has tested positive for COVID-19, White House officials say. He is returning to Delaware, where he will self-isolate and continue carrying out his duties, the White House says. Biden presented yesterday afternoon with upper respiratory symptoms, including a runny nose and cough, according to his doctor. It comes amid a chorus of Democratic voices encouraging Mr. Biden to step down due to fears his declining cognitive health will impact his ability to govern. Biden says he would consider pulling out of the presidential race if doctors advised him to do so. But he told America's BET News he's reluctant to walk away from the role as there's more to be done.
If there had some medical condition that emerged, if the doctors came to me and said, you got this problem, that problem. Look, when I originally ran, you may remember it, I said I was going to be a transitional candidate. But there's more to do, and I'm reluctant to walk away from that.
Nine players have been charged for taking part in a melee in last night's State of Origin match in Brisbane. Pushing and shoving on the field spilled over the sidelines near both teams' benches. Blues utility Cameron Murray and Maroons 18th man Haumalo Alakawato are facing the biggest sanctions for leaving their benches. They can accept a 2-game ban with an early guilty plea. The other players involved have been fined. There's been a boom in Indigenous-led tourism across Australia, according to the industry's peak body. Nationally, it's increased by more than 30% since 2019, and in some parts of Australia, it's even higher. Emmeline Richards is a tour guide in South Australia, where last year tourists spent $228 million in Aboriginal experiences, up $47 million from 2019. She told the ABC she hopes that's a trend that continues.
Tourism plays a really important role in Aboriginal people being able to continue their culture, being able to tell their stories, being able to share their knowledge, and be able to make those connections with people from different places, from around the community locally and internationally and around the world.
We'll have more after this.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for Stolen Generations survivors who were removed from their families or communities in the Northern Territory, ACT or Jervis Bay.
It's a financial and wellbeing package for acknowledgement and to help with healing.
The scheme's open for applications now.
To find out more about the Territory's Redress Scheme, call 1800 566 111
or visit territoriesredress.gov.au.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Program sponsor.
An archaeology and anthropology professor says the way people engage with photos of uncontacted tribes can cement harmful stereotypes of Indigenous groups. Earlier this week, images were released of the Mashu Piroj people, who are being forced to leave the Amazon rainforest more frequently due to increased timber logging in the region. Speaking to the ABC, Australian National University anthropology professor Dr. Carly Schuster says othering these groups can lead to forced assimilation.
Sort of idea that Indigenous groups were isolated and needed to be modernized actually fueled neighboring Brazil's campaigns of pacification through the mid-20th century. So campaigns to assimilate Indigenous Amazonians and forcibly teach them Portuguese, bind them to fixed settlements, incorporate them into settler society. We can recognize many of these tropes in Australia.
Authorities are establishing a so-called toad break area in Western Australia's north to prevent migration of the cane toad. Amy O'Halloran reports.
Curtin University professor Ben Phillips says cane toads are currently located less than 150 kilometres from Broome and are on the move. The species was introduced to Australia in the 1930s and there have long been attempts to eradicate it. Traditional owners, rangers, pastoralists and scientists have established a death corridor on the edge of the Great Sandy Desert in the Kimberley and Pilbara. They hope by limiting the toad's access to water, they will perish before having the chance to migrate further south.
And over in the UK, King Charles III has formally opened the first session of the new British Parliament. The King donned his ceremonial crown and robe, citing a speech written by the first Labour-led Parliament in 14 years.
My government's legislative programme will be mission-led and based upon the principles of security, fairness and opportunity for all.
To stay up to date with NIRS, follow us on Twitter or Instagram, like us on Facebook, and visit our website at nirs.org.au.
The National Indigenous Radio Service, the voices of our people.
Did you know that drinking any alcohol while you're pregnant can harm your bub? It's hard to stop drinking, but if you choose to drink alcohol while you're pregnant, It can leave your bub with all sorts of problems that can last their whole life. Remember, pregnancy and grog don't mix. If you need to yarn about it, visit your local Aponipama Clinic and Wellbeing Centre. We're here to help. Our health and our bubba's health is in our hands.
Station sponsor.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbaroo Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. They say beginnings half done. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister, Kerry Tranter. She's the founder and CEO of Indigi Showcase. We have Kerry on the line. Kerry, good morning, sister. How are you?
Yeah, ma. Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my sister. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you from, Kerry.
Yep. So I was born and raised on the lands of the Eora Nation down in Sydney, but my cultural links are through my mother and my grandmother. Mum was born in Sherberg Mission up here in Queensland, and my grandmother is from Kamilaroi Nation with my grandfather. Also, Goongarri, I think that's Mitchell area, west central Queensland, I think that is.
Yeah, still a Queenslander, fantastic.
Yeah.
My sister, thank you very much for coming to the program. As I said, beginning's half done. So here you are, the founder, CEO of Indigi Showcase. So tell us about Indigi Showcase. What is Indigi Showcase? When did it start? And you're holding the reins. Where are you steering it to?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure I'm excited to share more about Indigi
Please.
Showcase.
Yes.
So we're a 100% Indigenous-owned and female-operated platform, and we're dedicated exclusively to connecting Indigenous performers and cultural providers with event organisers across Australia.
Okay.
Our mission is to promote cultural understanding and create economic opportunities for Indigenous communities. The way it came about is that I used to organise a lot of events at my last job back down in Sydney, and I started collecting and organising a database of performers.
Yes.
And we moved up here, and I wanted to kind of carry that on and create something special where Indigenous cultural performers, artists, practitioners can have a platform to get more valuable exposure and opportunities to connect with audiences nationwide.
So Indigi Showcase is like a marketing arm promoting Indigenous artists, but you got them at your fingertips. So if any events are happening out there, they contact Indigi Showcase. And Kerry, you're the woman. You make the contacts
yes,
to the different with the different artists, and you create that space, yes?
That's true, yes. So, yeah, it's unlike any other platform, I guess.
It
caters solely on promoting and elevating Indigenous talent.
Mm.
So, I just want to make sure that, people that don't necessarily have the means to have that broader audience and bigger stage, that their voices are heard and, we get to celebrate our cultures. And,
and
change the narrative of Indigenous culture across Australia.
Well, whether we're opening a new building or starting a new company or, there's a celebration going on, We asked the mob and asked the cousin, auntie, hey, look for Digiplay, you, this sort of stuff. Hey, well, there it is, in Digi Showcase, yeah. At your fingertips.
That's right, yeah. That was very much the case in the last few jobs that I had, yeah. It was always, yeah, do you know somebody? Do you know somebody? Oh, yeah, my uncle does, my cousin does. So, yeah, I think just having that platform where they can get on and know that, you know, they will be seen and the voice will be heard will be great.
And look, you can't beat black on black, Kerry. When you're talking about a black business, promoting black businesses showcasing a black business, it's a good fit, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's, you know, it's that support and empowerment, you know, knowing that, you know, you're going to be managed correctly.
Yes.
And, yeah.
So when you're talking to an event that's looking for an artist as such, you're the middle person. So do you converse with the prices and what have you? And if it means accommodation or flights and what have you, you do all that as well, Kerry?
I can provide a bespoke experience if they want to go that way. I do want to put the onus back into the cultural practitioner. I want them to have total autonomy with the way that they interact with their potential client.
Yes.
So the platform is, you know, once they create their profile, they can advertise their business the way they want to advertise it. They can set their own prices. And once an event organizer contacts them on the platform, they do have total control over the communications once they're on the platform.
Yes.
However, if either cultural practitioner is looking for a specific event to join or wants help to promote them, or the event organizer wants me to coordinate their cultural practitioners, any performers, I'm happy to provide that service.
So you're virtually acting as an agent, aren't you, Kerry?
It is an agent, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So for all our mob out there across this beautiful country of ours, the Big Island, if they've got an entity, a business entity as such, or whether they're a solo performer, digiplayer, what have you, they can get in touch with yourself in Digi Showcase and introduce themselves and give them all the particulars, and then you can add them to your list of clients, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hey. One sec. Can you cut that out?
Hey, thank you. We're talking. Spread the love. But that's how do people contact you in Digi Showcase, please, Kerry?
Yep, they can go directly onto the website, which is www.indigishowcase.com.au.
Okay.
There is a page up there at the moment that I'm asking for expressions of interest. So there is a link at the bottom that they can just click and they can fill in all their particulars and it comes straight to me.
Good.
And once I get that, I acknowledge it.
Yes.
As I mentioned, we are still at the expressions of interest stage, but it's getting really exciting because I've had, on the back of NAIDOC and just before that, I got quite a bit of interest from both event organisers and cultural performers. So, yeah, it's looking really exciting.
So you've contacted, like, you're living in Cairns now, so have you contacted the different artists here in Cairns?
I have started to make contact. Good. Yeah, and I'm joining the, I think there's something coming up at the end of next week that I'm going to be part of as well.
Good.
Cairns Indigenous
Art Fair.
Art Fair, I think it is.
Yeah, beautiful.
We'll be
meeting you there because Mama Bipral will be there, so we will catch up and meet the person behind the voice, so to speak, Kerry.
Yeah, sure. I'll pop by and say hello.
Sister, good yarn with you. Good luck. Congratulations. Founder and CEO of Indigi Showcase, up and running, and do check it out, your mob. Kerry, keep smiling and stay warm. You are in Cairns, far north Queensland now, so good
that
on you,
right.
Sister. Good on you. And we will yarn soon, sis.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Kerry. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
A deadly yarn there. Kerry Shanta, her name is Kerry Tranter, sorry. And she's the CEO and founder of Indigi Showcase. So look, all you deadly mob out there, if you've got a business or you're a dig player, a solo performer, or you've got a group of dancers or artists, whatever, get in touch with Digi Showcase. They can promote and set up gigs for you. So it'd be like an agent for you. So do check it out, Indigi Showcase, oneword.com.au. All the W's, of course. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bumblebrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong, you mob.
already on the track.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
let the hatred drop. Just live your life, 'cause love is always on your side. 'Cause love is always on your side. 'Cause love is always on your side.
Jenda bana pi bamanda, jenda bakat jenda bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry, call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM. BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Right, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with two deadly rangers. They're coming from the Stradbroke Island, North Stradbroke Island, or Mirudubra. Down there on the island, talking about protecting our koalas and marsupial residents, and looking at the populations of koalas on North Stradbroke Island and the work they're doing there using fire and what have you, and got the rangers on the line. We have Kaya Morgan and we have Ryan Kutriak. A very good morning, you guys. How are you?
Good.
Thank you very much. Start with you, Kaya. Who your mob were you from, sister?
Yeah, my name's Kaya. I'm a Quanamooka woman from Mindjuraba, North Stradbroke Island.
Beautiful. Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan, Quanamooka man from North Stradbroke Island.
All right, beautiful. So you're on country, working on country, and getting paid to do it. I mean, that's got to be the best job in the world, yes?
Can't have anything better.
I hear you. Oh, fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about the koala populations, doing the count, doing the numbers, also looking after them, protecting them, deadly marsupial residents on Stradbroke Island. Or Mindjuraba is the name of the country, is that right?
Mindjuraba.
Yeah. Lovely, fantastic. So tell us the work that you're doing, and also when we're talking about using fire as a tool to look after the country, it's a balancing act, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's very delicate at the moment.
Mm. And tell us the work you're doing regarding, well, technology, drones, for example, in the 21st century. Tell us the work that you guys are doing there, please.
We've got one of our funding grants through WWF. Mm-hmm. Well, then we contacted a AI system programmer, Roboto, in Denmark. They've come over and spent 2 weeks with us. We've been flying around all blocks of the island, trying to identify koalas to train the AI system.
Yes.
That in the future is going to go out and we can fly every burn block and work out where the koalas are sitting, put in fire breaks, will then tell us how to burn the block properly.
Yes.
To minimise any damage or wildlife.
Yes. Like I said, it is a balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very... Most of the koala blocks that we've been looking at is in swampland or on the edge. So it's we've got the young rangers that we work with as well. They'll go out and put manual fire breaks in around on the edge of the swamp to give us the best chance, and then we go in and burn off from there.
Mm. Kaya, what's the name of your ranger group there, and who do you work under, sister?
So I work for Kayak. That's the group we work under. So it's the Quals Marsha Quanamooka Land and Sea Rangers.
Acronym QYAC, yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And how long you guys have been rangers?
I've been working for Kayak for 4 years, but just started to do the more working on country for about 3 to 4 months now.
And how are you enjoying that, my sister?
Yeah, I love it. It's great to be back on country and working with family. It's really good.
Beautiful. Ryan, yourself, bro?
I've been about 4 years.
Yep.
Started off as a machine operator when I come in for Kayak, and then I moved into the office. And last year we did all the training with the drones.
Yes.
We got the license, and then they made me chief pilot for the drones. So
there you go. Pilot now.
Yeah, slowly work my way in, which is nice. And
deadly.
Got a lot of help from the mob.
So deadly.
Everyone's looking after me.
And how many rangers you got on board? And we got men and women, have we?
Yeah, there's a couple of girls.
Cool.
We just got a grant, I think, for the young women's rangers group to start up.
Good. Girls can do anything. Hey, Kaya.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Yes. Watch out, Ryan. Brother, going to take over there.
That's it.
No, fantastic. But it's a team effort. It's getting it together, working with mob, especially young ones, training them, and look, taking it into the future for looking after North Stradbroke Island, your country. Yep.
Yeah, it's definitely a great opportunity over here. Mm. Most of us are all family or mob.
Yes.
Somewhere along the way.
Exactly.
So it's great being out in the field.
Mm. Exactly. So if you're looking for a partner, Ryan, you have to go outside that circle, don't you, brother?
Yeah, brother. Gotta go hit the mainland.
That's right. Exactly. Look, love the work that you guys are doing. Fantastic. You are looking after country, looking after our beautiful marsupial residents there, our koalas, you know, our true brothers and sisters in the gum trees, but it's also looking after the country. It is a balancing act. And using technology when you talk about drones and what have you, but also we're talking about having mob working on country, looking after country, and that's got to be the best job in the world, yes?
Yeah, nothing better.
Fantastic. Well, big shout out to your Deadly Rangers and the kayak mob. Fantastic. Keep in touch. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Sounds good.
Deadly, thank you.
All right, too deadly. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. That's Kaya Morgan, ranger, and she's enjoying the journey there, 3 months there, 4 years in the job, but just been moved over to different areas, as well as Ryan and Kiriakt, and both traditional owners of the land at Minjirua, which is North Stradbroke Island, and working closely with our koalas and protecting them and using fire as a tool, looking after country, of course, is how we operate. Have you saying yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. We're live, hit the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, BBM Bumbarabip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wuchopperin kinship foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wuchopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Beat Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. A big shout out to the NERS team. All right, now new parents are at risk of slipping through the cracks despite routine perinatal well-being checks. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Karen Edwards, Clinical Director, Gidget Foundation Australia, and talk about this important space. Karen's on the line. Karen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to speak with you this morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Karen?
I'm based in Sydney, New South Wales.
Well, I'm in sunny North Queensland, Cairns. Warm up here, sister.
How lovely. And I can say it's cold down here and I'm feeling a little envious.
There you go. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, we're talking about, you're a clinical director at Gidget Foundation Australia. First of all, tell us who's Gidget Foundation Australia, Karen, please.
Yeah. Look, Gidget Foundation Australia is a not-for-profit organisation that exists to support the emotional well-being of expectant new parents with the aim of ensuring that they get timely, appropriate specialist mental health care during the perinatal period. So that's the period from conception right through to that first year after the baby is born.
Okay, thank you. And a title here about parents of risk slipping through the cracks despite routine perinatal well-being checks. So talk to us about this space. Our beautiful mothers out there giving birth need support during and thereafter delivering babies. Is that happening or do we need to pump that up a bit? Or where are we at in this space, please, Karen?
Yeah, look, you know, Gidget Foundation Australia knows that one in three women describe their birth experience as traumatic and that this trauma can significantly influence their sense of well-being and also places them at greater risk of developing other perinatal mental health disorders, including perinatal anxiety and depression. And it can affect their relationship with their new baby as well. So we know that early intervention and screening around mental health issues and experiences of birth trauma are incredibly important in supporting women during this time.
And look, and that could be higher for First Nation mothers, but also white and black women who are on the outback or in remote areas. That could be traumatic too, could it not?
Look, we know that First Nations women and people living in rural and regional areas really do face additional challenges in their pre and postnatal care. You know, they're certainly impacted by the fact that they're expected to travel significant distances often to access care.
Yes.
They often have to leave, you know, family and other community supports and travel out of their local area.
Or their other
country.
Children, if they're mother of three, for example, yes.
Absolutely, and that's particularly the case, you know, if a baby is born prematurely or with other complications, sometimes mums are expected to stay in the hospital for quite an extended period of time, and that really involves a significant separation from kin and from their children, which is quite traumatic for many mums.
Is this where midwives come to the table in support during and thereafter?
So I think it's really important that all healthcare providers are aware of the support needs of women during both their pregnancy and postnatal period, that they understand the risks and vulnerabilities to mental health associated with either, you know, both with the pregnancy and the arrival of a new baby and the adjustment that involves, and that there's adequate education and training to make sure those health professionals are able to identify and recognise women who are at risk of developing perinatal mental health issues or who have early signs and symptoms. I think the second thing is it's also important that we provide education to the community, because it's often other parents who recognise that a loved one or a friend or family member is struggling.
Sure. So the, we're talking about education, knowledge, you could say. When we're talking about midwives or talking about nurses or what have you, it's a holistic approach, isn't it?
It's absolutely a holistic approach, and it really is about looking at the woman within, you know, within the context of her parenting journey. But it's actually about looking at the whole family as well. It's really, really important to remember that both dads and non-birthing partners can experience perinatal mental health challenges and develop perinatal depression and anxiety or birth trauma responses.
And then we talk about technology, Karen. I mean, here we have in just a mobile phone, we can do FaceTime. I mean, that'd be a powerful supporting tool as well, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. That's an incredibly valuable tool. And, you know, Gidget Foundation Australia does offer specialist telehealth perinatal mental health services, which are bulk billed, so there's no out-of-pocket expenses for any new parent who accesses our services. And it really does allow people to receive support within their community, within their home, and while they're still connected to those other social supports.
Yeah, fantastic. So, look, a lot of work to be done and continue work to be done, but the old phrase, we're all in this together, aren't we, Karen?
Absolutely, and it really does take a village to raise a child.
Yeah, fantastic. Karen, thank you for the yarn. Listen, stay warm. We will yarn soon, and all the best to you and your team at Gidget Foundation, sister.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Trevor. Thanks so much.
Take care, Karen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adela Yande, Karen Edwards, her name is, a clinical director at Gidget Foundation Australia. And it's about new parents at risk of slipping through the cracks despite routine perinatal wellbeing checks. So we're talking about support with our mothers out there, and that's during the pregnancy and after the pregnancy, and communication using the tools available, especially if they've got to go away from country or go away from their family members to give birth. But it is a team effort in more ways than one. Your daily program, National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong, You Mob. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And a big shout out to all First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, a Deadly Black Network. It is, yes. National Talk Black, Yarn Up Strong, You Mob Too Deadly.
Papa, no, 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 pote 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 pote.
Ignited, kindle the flame. We on the shoulders of giants, simple and plain. I want the right to shape my environment, space. Once we have the power, we'll figure the way. We'll figure the way. We'll figure it out. Live, brother, blah, say, black empire, the brow, we mug.
And we all sons and daughters, won't be divided by colonial borders. Answer my family, the future calling. It's hard to rise, we've been mourning. There's a new light with a new dawn. As if you can see what's important. Cause what's important? Long journey ahead, we've been walking. Look out now, the family been talking. We brought them up, we built with trust. Cause my generation is all of us.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Mark around.